It's here and now. The Secret Service isn't saying anything more about that theft of an agent's gun, badge, and other items from his car while it was parked near the White House on Monday, except to confirm that it did happen. CNN first reported the theft of the items. The New York Times is reporting that a police report also lists a flash drive among the items taken. It's the latest black eye for the agency. The agent who left his bag in the car is reportedly a member of the Presidential Protective Division.
Keep an eye on that story. Well, starting on Friday, 100 movie theaters around the country will be screening the new Quentin Tarantino movie in an all but obsolete film format. The Hateful Eight debuts the way the director wants it to be seen 1 week before the film's wider release. And in order to do that, one company has resurrected a bunch of the old hulking machines needed to put the 70mm film on the big screen. Andrea Shea from Here and Now contributor WBUR reports.
Go to the movies these days, and most of what you see on screen is digital. But back in the 50s and 60s, a monumental format known as 70mm film was the gold standard. Chapin Cutler of a company called Boston Light and Sound remembers 70mm's heyday well, with widescreen epic movies like Lawrence of Arabia and Around the World in 80 Days.
In 1959, MGM made a movie called Ben-Hur, and they wanted something to be even bigger than normal 70mm. So that became Ultra Panavision 70, which is what the format of The Hateful Eight is.
You don't know nothing about this filly here.
Nope.
Don't even know her name.
Nope.
Well, I guess that makes this one fortuitous wagon.
I sure as hell hope so.
Cutler says The Hateful Eight is the first movie to be made in Ultra Panavision 70 since 1966. Few theaters have reel-to-reel projectors anymore, so for Tarantino to fully realize his vision for The Hateful Eight, he needed dozens of vintage, analog, 70mm machines installed in theaters around the country.
Part of the problem with doing a 70mm project like this is a lot of the 70mm equipment is gone.
Cutler says most U.S. theaters scrapped their film projectors when they converted to digital. Over the past year, Cutler's team has been searching the world for discarded machines. Up until a month ago, the Boston Light and Sound warehouse was filled with carefully cobbled together projectors assembled from mismatched parts. Cutler shows me a prototype.
It came out of somebody's boneyard. The lamphouse console came from one place, the projector came from another. And we basically put it together to work as a unit.
To a degree, there is this Franken-projector kind of thing, because so much of this stuff was either thrown out or, at best, pushed aside.
That's Larry Shaw, co-founder of Boston Light and Sound. He's in a projection booth at the Providence Place Multiplex Cinema installing one of these Franken-projectors. Shaw had to re-engineer and manufacture components that are obsolete and adapt the vintage projectors to make them easier to operate. Shaw and Rob Syka tweak and calibrate a machine before threading it with a fat, almost 3-inch wide piece of 70mm film. Syka explains what's happening.
This is our test film. We ship test film to all the theaters so we can do the alignment and run through to make sure that everything is working as it should.
These guys are self-described film geeks and have very strong opinions about film versus digital. Shaw says the subtle variations of colors and hues in 70mm creates warmth and tones that digital can't.
How much of a difference does that make? I don't know, but to me, it makes a difference when I watch it. It looks different.
And Syka is captivated by the opening scene of Tarantino's The Hateful Eight.
It kind of fades into this face of a statue close up. The snow is lightly falling, and then it's a very, very slow camera pullback so that you can anticipate the shot that he's going to give you with this wide format. And the anticipation is just itching you. And when it's finally done pulling back, you really get the sense of, wow, this is why he wants to shoot in that format.
It wasn't until this week that the Boston Light and Sound team found all the capable projectionists needed to pull off Tarantino's experiment. What's next for the Franken projectors after the Hateful Eight 70mm run is uncertain. The Weinstein Company owns them, and Chapin Cutler says there's a good chance the projector collection might end up back at Boston Light and Sound.
We may become the people that have to look after it and take care of it.
Keepers of the flame.
Keepers of the junk. I mean, keepers of the technology. Guardians of the projectors.
Until another film director takes up the charge. Or at least, that's the hope. For Here and Now, I'm Andrea Shea in Boston.
And Andrea's story was produced with help from Aaron Tron. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.